night, ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vacansade, written by Paul Reimer. Vacansade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now here's Zella Lane. Say, Zella, could you spare a few words on the new cookbook?
Well, to tell the truth, they aren't needed. This new Crisco wartime cookbook speaks for itself. Isn't that right, friends? Could you ask for a more helpful cookbook than Crisco's Recipes for Good Eating? 64 pages. Yes, sir, 114 Crisco recipes. Beautiful color photographs of foods and lots of method pictures showing easy cooking tricks. Why, with this new cookbook, wartime meals almost get themselves. There's such a variety of delicious Crisco recipes, all so practical. Grand dishes for low-cost meats, suggestions for dolling up leftovers, whole sections on delicious desserts. The one on pies includes Crisco's pastry method for tender, flaky pie crust every time. And you know what else? This cookbook even lists alternate ingredients for recipes, should there be foods you can't buy. Really, you won't be satisfied till this wartime cookbook is yours. Just print your name and address clearly. Mail it with 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. That's 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. This offer is only good in the United States, and you'll have to allow 14 to 18 days for delivery. So send now for Crisco's new wartime cookbook. And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Vic and young Russell. The latter has established the library table, busily plying pencil to tablet paper. And the former, newly arrived home from the office, takes a seat on the davenport, remarking,
"It gratifies and exalts me to see my beloved baby boy studying so diligently."
"Can you imagine me studying during summer vacation?"
"You're not studying?"
"Of course not."
"It depresses and tortures me to see my beloved baby boy not studying."
"I'm writing an insulting letter to Bluetooth Johnson."
"You and Bluetooth break up your beautiful friendship?"
"We write insulting letters back and forth just for the fun of it."
"Mm.
Care to read one Bluetooth handed me today?"
"Not particularly. Where's your mother?"
"Went downtown, I guess."
"Mm.
Just left about 10 minutes ago."
"Yeah? Isn't it rather late in the afternoon to embark on a shopping expedition?"
"She went away to escape Miss Freely."
"Escape Miss Freely?"
"Christmas cards."
"More Christmas cards?"
"Yes.
A Christmas card salesman lurks behind every tree. Christmas card salesmen fall out of the sky like ripe plums. Why are we hounded by Christmas card salesmen in the blistering summertime?"
"They're thick, all right."
"Mm.
But about Miss Freely, I met her on my way home from Tapman's vacant lot, and she told me to tell Mom she might drop in around 4:30.
Mm.
This has really been a Christmas card day for Mom."
"Yeah?
Aunt Bess started the ball rolling. Did you read the letter that come this morning?" She says, "Mate, I'm still waiting to hear if you're going to help me out with my Christmas card sales. The ladies at the church give me 6 dozen to sell, and I was wondering how many I could count on you to take." That was this morning. And then this afternoon, just as I was leaving to go over to Tapman's vacant lot, Mr. Erickson stopped past.
Ah, my sweet, sweet landlord that I love. I bet he had Christmas cards.
He said he's just got in some beautiful samples and would bring them around soon."
"Oh, he is a darling."
"He hadn't any more slammed the screen door than Hank Gutstop called."
"Not peddling Christmas cards?"
"Mom got the notion he was peddling Christmas cards."
"Did he mention Christmas cards?"
"No, but he said he wanted to talk to you."
"Well, he reached me at the office. Had some large business to straighten out. No, he don't sell Christmas cards anymore."
"He always has in previous years."
"You're an old previous year yourself, and the next time you use a big word like that, I'll thrash you within an inch of your life."
"Well, anyway..."
"Oh, the telephone's ringing, the telephone's ringing. Great Scott, the telephone is ringing. Murder, Russell, answer that. The telephone is ringing."
"Most likely Bluetooth Johnson."
"I bet it's Homer Heck from Norman, Oklahoma, that didn't even own the socks he wears in his feet."
"Hello?"
"Hello, now that's a fine thing to say to the telephone."
"Oh, hello, Miss Freely. Why, no, she's not. I'd be glad to take any message... I beg pardon?"
"You don't need to look at me. I hate you and all you stand for."
"Oh. Oh, uh-huh. You bet. Not at all, Miss Freely. Yes, ma'am. Goodbye.
She coming around with a barrel of Christmas cards?
Yeah.
When?
This evening.
Maybe you should have told her Mom took a train for Dallas, Texas, and won't be back till early in the year 1956.
I don't think I could have gotten away with it. Besides, she didn't inquire if Mom was going to be home this evening. She just said I'm coming around this evening.
An indefatigable salesperson, Miss Freely.
That whole crowd of bloodhounds is indefatigable. Even Aunt Bess. Aunt Bess spoke pretty strong in her letter. She's going to saddle a pile of Christmas cards in Mom or know the reason why.
Well, the only solution I see for Mom is to go out on the breast of the trackless desert and crawl in a hole and stay there and wait for that long, long sleep which unburdens the heart of all its weary troubles.
This gang of Christmas card sellers is going to drive her into doing something desperate pretty soon.
Well, one thinks that Christmas cards are sweet messages of tender affection. All they mean to Mom is a bunch of heavy boulders rolling pell-mell down the mountain to crush human life.
Yeah, or I heard a man eating elephants all ready to pounce. Shucks.
Aunt Bess wrote a letter about Christmas cards. Erickson phoned about Christmas cards. And even old Hank Gutstop was suspected of lurking in the shadows with Christmas cards. No wonder your mother has dreams about Christmas cards.
I haven't even scratched the surface of what happened today yet.
No?
Haven't even scratched the surface.
Well, go ahead. Scratch the surface.
Mom told me the rest of the story just before she left for downtown.
Uh-huh.
Well, it seems Miss Elders was here a while this afternoon.
Oh, yes. Miss Elders. A fragile tea rose by the river's brim.
She hadn't any more than got sat down in the porch swing till she put on the high pressure.
Miss Elders is an orange blossom. Miss Elders is a poem.
She attempted to sell Mom some Christmas cards.
Did Mom paste her one upside the snoot?
You know how Mom is. Instead of jumping up and yelling she didn't want any half-foot Christmas cards, she beat her on the bush and acted polite.
Uh-huh.
You appreciate how Mom is.
Uh-huh.
Ladylike.
Yeah.
Well, you don't say. Think of that. Oh, boy, hot dog.
Does that conclude today's Christmas card nightmare?
No.
There's still more?
Sure.
You're jesting.
No. A little later on, Miss Harris come over.
Oh, my.
And she put on the heat.
My.
I tell you, Mom's had a day of it.
I bet she dreams about Christmas cards tonight.
And she'll wake up screaming.
Maybe we ought to go downtown and hunt for her. Perhaps she's wandering aimlessly about the public streets, gibbering to herself.
No, but all joking off to one side, this is kind of serious. People can get foolish in the head if they're driven too far.
That's perfectly true.
Well, like I started to tell you, Miss Harris come over and put on the heat. I guess Mom was beginning to get a little feverish by this time. She says, Miss Harris, my sister wants to sell me Christmas cards, and my landlord wants to sell me Christmas cards, and there's 40 others want to sell me Christmas cards. How can I buy your Christmas card?
Showed some spunk, huh?
Yeah, but you know how Miss Harris is. Words roll right off her back like a duck. She says, Miss Cook, I understand your friend Miss Freely is giving away special premiums with her merchandise. You understand about that, don't you?
Yeah. Buy your Christmas cards from Miss Freely and you'll get a free cup and saucer.
Yeah, and a free parking space for your automobile when you visit Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, sure.
Miss Harris says, Miss Cook, I understand your friend Miss Freely's giving away special premiums with her merchandise. Well, my firm is also giving away special premiums. With every 2 dozen order, you get your choice of a lemonade stirrer or a map of Montana.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lemonade stirrer or a map of Montana?
Uh-huh.
What kind of doggone premiums is that?
I don't know. Which would you rather have?
I'd like a combination lemonade stirrer and map of Montana.
Oh, that'd be peachy. You could give your lemonade a stir and then look up the population of Butte.
Does this conclude your heartbreaking story, Mom's tragic day?
No, there's still more.
Huh?
I was the party that broke the camel's back.
Yeah?
I was innocent about it. I didn't mean to do it. But if Mom had jumped out the upstairs window this afternoon, it had been my fault.
Well, what was it you done?
Well, first I'll review the facts.
All right.
Aunt Bess wrote a letter about Christmas cards. Mr. Erickson called up on the telephone about Christmas cards. Hank Gutstop called up on the telephone and Mom figured it was about Christmas cards.
Uh-huh.
Miss Elders come over with Christmas cards.
Uh-huh.
Miss Harris come over with Christmas cards.
Uh-huh.
So far, that's about as many Christmas cards as one lady can be expected to handle in one day, wouldn't you say?
I'd say so.
Yeah. All right. I bust in.
Uh-huh.
And tell Mom Miss Freely's coming over with Christmas cards.
Uh-huh.
Mom almost fainted.
Was that the straw that broke the camel's back?
No. Here's the straw that broke the camel's back. I says, Mom, the girls in several Sunday school classes at Sunday school are making Christmas cards. Do you want to buy some?
Oh, golly.
And then was when she made a dash for her hat and coat.
I don't blame her.
Neither do I.
Golly.
Did Mom have a day of it, or did Mom have a day of it?
Mom had a day of it.
You know what I think of? I think we ought to figure up some kind of a scheme, you and me. Some kind of a scheme to head off those pack of wolves. Mom might get sick and have to go to bed if people don't...
The telephone.
Probably Bluetooth Johnson.
You can make sure by picking up the transmitter and inquiring.
Hello? Oh, yes, Mom. Well, she just called a few minutes ago. Yeah. Said she'd stop in a while this evening. Uh-huh. Oh, where are you? Well, what you doing there? Yeah? Well, I'll be darned. Yeah, I see. Uh-huh. Well, I'll be darned. That's swell, Mom. Yeah. Be home pretty quick. Uh-huh. Okay, Mom. Goodbye.
Is your mother...
She solved the problem.
What problem?
The Christmas card problem.
You mean
you know where she telephoned from?
No.
Miller's Printing Company.
Yeah?
Mom's going into business.
Business?
The Christmas card business.
Oh.
It's the truth. And it solves the problem just perfect. You can't sell Christmas cards to somebody that sells Christmas cards yourself.
Huh.
Can you?
No.
You're darn right you can't. If I'm running an ice cream parlor, nobody's going to come around trying to sell me a chocolate nut sundae, are they?
No.
Mom's got brains.
Yeah.
Mom's got brains.
Concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now here's Zella Lane.
Occasionally you hear people complaining about the rise in prices, don't you? Well, just chalk this up for the next grumbler you meet. Tell them this. The rise in prices during the last war was more than double what it's been during this war. And that's a fact. Now take the staff of life, bread. Why, during World War I, the cost of bread went up 66%. This war, only 13%. Yes, bread prices increased 5 times as much during the last war. Then I've heard some people say, the price of clothes is outrageous. But do you remember the last war? Do you remember how much clothes cost then? Why, back in 1918, the price of clothes more than doubled. But this time, clothes have only gone up a little more than a third. To our price control rulings goes part of the credit for holding down prices. But most of the credit goes to you. Because without your cooperation, price control wouldn't work. And if we're to continue to keep prices from going sky high, every one of us must continue to stick to the home front pledge. Which is, remember, pay no more than ceiling prices and pay your ration points in full.
And don't forget to listen to Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. This is the National Broadcasting Company.